appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I have to say that after game one, the Edmonton Oilers looked to me like a team that had really battened down the hatches and done a lot of good things. A little wobble, obviously, because they'd given up some goals, but they were of the fluky variety. But after game two, the Kings, I mean, it felt like they were doing some set plays that worked out. Drew Doughty skating like he was a rookie out there to score a goal. I don't know if they turned back time, but the LA Kings, to me, looked about as impressive as I think they can last night against Edmonton.
Yeah, so that breakaway goal, and I think I posted, you know, what decade is this?
No.
That was some vintage Doughty to get a breakaway there. And I think that was kind of part and parcel to the broader inversion of the narrative from game one to game two. And that in the first game, Edmonton's big guns were really firing. But then we saw the Kings cannons in game two. I mean, Kopitar, tremendous game. Kempe carried it over. He and Jordan Spence are probably two guys that had good games in both outings. But then you had to really their top six, their top pairing, did an about phase from the first game. I mean, you look at Deneau, he had sort of an in-game recovery and a game-to-game recovery in that he really absorbed a lot of the play, both shorthanded and five-on-five. In the first game, had a very tough night. Second game, much better. Obviously takes that huge hit from Hyman, comes back from that after just a very brief absence. So, that was kind of a microcosm of the Kings' sort of resilience and bounce back. There wasn't a ton of carryover from game to game. And it probably won't be from game two to three either. I mean, that's just kind of been the nature of these series the last 3 years.
You tweeted out or responded to, I can't remember, it was Drop in the Mitts. I've just tweeted it out again. Not only did they win the game, they were very physical. And Connor McDavid got his share of shots in and was taken, you know, shots were taken at him as well. Seems to me as though the Kings, I don't know about the verbal game and the, you know, the crosstalk or anything like that. But there's certainly, you know, these teams have played a lot over the years in these series. And there's, I don't know, bad blood is it, but there's blood in the water. And both of these teams really want to beat the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's mutual respect, but there's also palpable resentment. There's no question about that. And I think in the first game, the Kings did that in a way that was aggressive but not controlled. Especially we saw them take a couple of pretty foolhardy penalties, Dubois getting into it, trying to agitate near the boards, the more, you know, the kind of clipping Desharnais there. Those were not smart plays that didn't help their game. Last night, Hughes hit on McDavid, the little kind of game of hot potato pushing McDavid between Gavrikov, Kempe, and Kopi, who's, you know, a Lady Bing winner, but not looking like it in this series. I thought that was productive. And I'm sure we'll see plenty of pushback from the Oilers. I mean, their third line was tremendous last night, even though it didn't produce a goal. And they've got some tough customers. And, we'll see where it all goes from here.
I felt that going into the series that one of the keys for Los Angeles, because they're just full of really good two-way players, was putting pressure on the defense and recognizing opportunity. And on the first goal of the game, Evan Bouchard sends an area pass to Warren Fogle. It doesn't get out. Is a pinch at the blue line, and then a great shot by Kempe, who had a terrific night. But it shows to me that the Kings are well coached. There's been a lot of scouting about what the Oilers do and who can be taken advantage of. And for me, anyway, it feels good or bad. Like Evan Bouchard is going to be front and center in this series.
Oh, definitely. And I think the Nurse-Soucy pairing has got to come up the same way that the Roy Gavrikov pairing has to bring up their level of play for the Kings. I think those two pairings on the respective sides have both struggled a little bit in the first couple of games. We saw Nurse with the misplay on the winner yesterday. There's guys that are going to have to come up. And coming into the series, that was a clear edge, I think, for the Kings, was kind of the lower part of their defensive rotation or maybe their defense core in general. And what's amazing is they're playing the series without Brant Clark. He's not up. He's a top prospect for him, a guy who was a difference maker in his limited time during the season. Whereas, you know, the Oilers, I mean, obviously Bouchard had a tremendous year, but then and Ekholm is a guy who's always brought it, especially at playoff time, had that amazing run with Nashville in 17. But then you get below that, and, the components aren't quite as reliable. So that's something that I think the Kings will look to exploit. And interestingly, they really haven't spent a lot of time in their 1-3-1 neutral zone forecheck series.
Yeah.
I couldn't put a number on it, but maybe a quarter of the series they've gotten it set up. And they've had a little bit more of a traditional 2-1-2 forecheck. And I think that's worked well for him. I mean, you mentioned that play that should be a hard around the glass. He tries to do like a soft bank pass off the boards, and that just got devoured, came back on him for a goal. So we'll see if that persists, or we see more 1-3-1, or how it develops.
Well, it's like a counter tray, right? Like you everybody's expecting student body right, and you go left, and it the interception opportunities are right there. And for me anyway, when I looked at this series, I said, I did. I said the Oilers would have the superior goaltending. I think they did in game one. But in game two, I think it was a Ryan McLeod breakaway. I thought L.A. had the better goaltending in game two. Do you agree?
I would agree with that. But I think it's a good jumping off point to, you know, people may disagree on this one. But I look at Talbot's performance across the season finale, the first two games of this series, and also the way that they deployed him during the season and the way they used their second goaltender, particularly once it was David Rittich and, you know, Copley had the injury. I'm thinking that despite the fact that he made some big momentum-swinging saves, of course, he also had a couple that he'd probably like back as far as ones that went in, I would consider starting Rittich in Game 3. I'm obviously not the coach, thankfully for the Kings, but he had tremendous, tremendous splits at home. I think he had like a 1.34 goals against at home. Save percentage way into the 900s. So, you know, he's been dominant at home. He's the more athletic goalie that could potentially steal you a game. I would be surprised if they went to Rittich slightly. But, again, I mean, thankfully for them, I'm not the one making the decision. I would strongly consider the goalie switch, especially because, you know, when they did ride Talbot a whole bunch of games in a row, that generally lowered the quality of his starts as time went on.
Also, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Rittich, I believe, traditionally plays pretty well against Edmonton.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he had quite a bit of battles there when he was in Calgary. So yeah. He's seen them plenty, even for a guy who just joined the Kings this year and wasn't part of those prior two series.
Are the Kings, you know, the one thing I've noticed, and I haven't watched them a lot since the coaching change, but it does seem to me like in terms of deployment and strategy, this is a fairly innovative coach compared to what the predictable that we knew beforehand. Is that fair?
I would separate those into two categories. In terms of strategy, I don't think they've made any enormous adjustments in terms of their system. We saw some PK adjustments, you know, which is not really Jim Hiller's area. He's really focused on the power play still, even though he's the head coach. And of course, Edmonton countered that. I mean, they have so many wrinkles. But yeah, in terms of strategy, I'm not sure that we've seen tremendous variance. But in terms of personnel, yes. He and DJ Smith, who essentially runs the bench, they brought him as an assistant, have really done a lot more mixing and matching with their lines in game, from game to game. I mean, Todd McClellan had the same lines for a quarter of the season, which is rare. I mean, zero variance. And here, you know, the lineup sheet is just kind of a primer or a suggestion. It really mixes up in between games, even the D pairings, but certainly the forward line. So in that sense, yeah, we've seen a lot more tinkering, a lot more different looks. Strategy-wise, maybe not a ton of variance.
Do we have any injury updates? Anybody hurt, or is it pretty much, because it was in this game too, same rosters for both sides. Any word on any injuries from the LA side?
It seems like, you know, I checked in this morning with a couple people. You know, seems like nothing doing. Unfortunately, they did not skate today. They took this as a team day off, so there were no official updates or media availability or anything of that nature. But, you know, with the no finishing the game last night, there was certainly nothing evident, and you know, just been kind of making a couple calls this morning. I don't think there's anybody that's a concern for game three.
How many sneakers, sir?
I would have to get an account, but it's under 1,000 now. At one point, it was over 2,000. So I've pared down a little bit. I may lose my title. I may have to edit the bio sometime soon.
I love it. I love it. Please call me for the garage sale. I want to be there. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.